serial entrepreneur.
Hello and welcome back to not only our final episode in the Review and Roadmap series, the Emerging Tech episode, but also the last episode of the year and therefore our Christmas special. You are not supposed to have favourite episodes, but I do feel like this one may top all episodes that I have recorded so far, so no pressure guys. My incredible guests for today include Dr. Alex Young, the CEO and founder of Verti, an award-winning immersive enterprise learning solution using VR, AR and MR to create educational content and provide analytics using AI. And my second guest joining us is Caitlin Fritz, co-founder of Musimio, a VR educational platform that brings culture to life with just a smartphone and a cardboard headset. It allows children to adventure through curriculum-led quests featuring interactive narratives from museums all across the world. Thank you so much for both joining me. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Perfect. Well, as it's the Serial Entrepreneur podcast, I do start every episode by asking all my guests what their favourite breakfast cereal or breakfast choice is. So I am going to ask you both the same with an added bonus question, as it's the Christmas special, and ask you also what you have for breakfast on Christmas morning. So, ladies first, Caitlin, what's your favourite cereal and what do you have on Christmas morning?
Okay, so I'm going to go with a healthy cereal at the moment. You know, I love a good fruit and fibre, something like that, you know, trying to feel healthy in the morning. But I am a sucker, I'm back in America at the moment, for the American sugary cereals that are definitely not available in the UK. And for Christmas morning, we definitely have like the full American breakfast, streaky bacon, pancakes, cinnamon rolls. Like, it is the meal until probably 7 p.m.
Amazing. Lucky Charms are the best cereal in the world. Definitely. I'm so sad they are not, like, common here in the UK. So, yeah, I'm jealous of that one. And Alex, tell me, what's your favourite breakfast cereal and what do you have on Christmas morning?
Yes, a big question to kick things off. How long have we got for this one? Say, my normal breakfast cereal, or my favourite breakfast cereal, would probably be, I think, crunchy nuts, cornflakes. You can't really beat. That's pretty solid breakfast cereal. On Christmas, I quite like a little bit of a winter feeling, so probably some porridge, maybe with some fruit in there for health benefits. And then, yeah, save up some space for the main Christmas meal later on in the day.
Definitely. Like, breakfast is nothing, is it, when you're having that big Christmas dinner? But we will get onto that question later. So to start with, I mean, I gave you a little intro, but I didn't do you both justice. So let's start by you telling me a little bit more about Musimio and Verti. So again, Caitlin, let's start with you for this one.
Yeah, no. So Musimio is an award-winning edtech platform founded by myself and Olga Kravchenko back in 2018, 2019. And together, we're on a mission to make arts and culture more accessible for kids using the most immersive technology. So for us, it's really about utilizing the affordances of mobile VR. So kids can adventure through different narratives, stories, featuring some of their favorite museums or histories around the world. And we've been a part of the Google Female Founders Program this past year, as well as being supported by Bethnal Green Ventures. So it has been a road. We're really excited for the future. Obviously 2021, everyone's looking forward to, but that's just us in a snapshot.
Amazing, so exciting. And Alex, yes, tell us a little bit more about Verti and what you guys do.
Yeah, definitely. So Verti, we're a corporate training platform that basically uses virtual reality, augmented reality, but also works on mobile and desktop. So we kicked things off in 2018 as well. We've kind of scaled up. We've got a large client base in the US, selling into healthcare systems, med device and pharma, and also sort of Fortune 500 companies to help them with their training. We've had a really interesting year, so we've picked up some very cool awards recently, including the Time Top 100 Inventions of 2020. We were listed on that, as well as a couple of others. And yeah, we're very much kind of in scale-up mode. So we did a seed round in 2019. We're just about to announce a Series A funding round in 2021, really with a mission to make experiential or on-the-job training affordable and accessible for everyone and improve human performance for the workforce.
Amazing. And obviously you said it's been an interesting year for you. It sounds like quite a positive year. I have been asking people as well, obviously it's been a strange year for most people. How has it been for you, you know, personally and as a business? you've seen a good year, is it safe to say, even with everything that's going on?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the thing whenever I answer questions like this is that you've got to remember it's been a tough year for loads of different sectors. And I think we've been super fortunate and we're very grateful to be in the kind of, you know, digital training or digital learning or remote training sector. Because actually, a lot of the stuff we were talking about last year before COVID hit, like how can you scale your in-person training, or how can you reduce the costs of that, or how can you make it more equal for people anywhere on the planet, have now really, you know, been put at the forefront of a lot of people's minds and thought spaces. So, yeah, we've been sort of very humbled that we can kind of help people, especially in the healthcare sector on the front line, with our technology, helping them to sort of get upskilled quickly to sort of fight COVID, but also in other sectors where people have been working from home, have been sort of super stressed out that, you know, you can't be onboarded, you know, you can't get your normal sort of face-to-face training with your peers. So it's been really interesting. I mean, as a kind of company, we've scaled up by about 1,000% actually over the last 12 months, which is pretty crazy looking back on it. And you know, we sort of doubled our team size within that period, brought on people completely remotely, some of whom I've never met face to face, which is slightly crazy. But I mean, for us, it's been really, really interesting. We've had some really cool highlights during the year, like being kind of featured on a billboard in Times Square back in kind of April, May time for some of the stuff we did, picked up some awards and picked up some really great customers who we've been able to help with our solutions. So I think overall, we're been pretty happy with 2020, looking forward to 2021.
Amazing. It's great to hear these stories because, you know, as you say, it has been tough for a number of sectors and a number of businesses. So when you hear both of you and the experiences you've had this year, it is, you know, it's nice to hear and like build morale up for other businesses. Caitlin, tell me about like your year personally for Museumio. It sounds like a great year for you guys as well.
Yeah, I mean, echoing what Alex said, like it has been a very interesting year, I think, for everyone in the education and training space. I think it really was a year that EdTech, I feel like, got put in the forefront, at least in the past, you know, 3 or so years. But once again, so many other industries were hit way harder than we were. But for us, it really was about utilizing this technology, especially to the homeschooling environment, because that was a huge shift, especially in the UK. And we were trying to implement new solutions for these parents, guardians who are taking care of their kids at home, who probably won't go see a museum this year or won't experience these kind of field trips. And for us, it was also a really interesting year because we got Innovate UK funding, which allowed us to make our platform multimodal. So now we can be on desktops, mobile VR, 2D, and that really expands our outreach and I think aligns with the mission we're pursuing. And I think personally, it has just been like Groundhog's Day. I don't know if anyone else felt like that. I think now we're so close to Christmas and in my head, we're still in March. So still getting over that part.
Definitely. I think in the summer, it was a lot easier to kind of swallow. Yeah, now it's people, I think people also thought by this time in the year that we would have a little bit more normality, but hey ho, we have to grin and bear it, don't we, for now. But yeah, it is great to hear what you guys have been up to and the help that you guys have been providing for people. So in a more general term, what sort of like trends and patterns have you seen? Obviously, you're both kind of in the ed tech sector, health tech, you know, across like emerging tech. Have you seen, because of COVID and lockdown, have you seen any like new trends or patterns that have formed in the industry?
Yeah, I think just speaking from kind of my niche more in the cultural area, is there has been a huge demand for digital education and having more of a digital first approach with partners. I think when the lockdown happened, I mean, the art sector shut down. That has never happened in like the history of the world where 90% of the museums shut down. And it really was a lot of reframing. And I think startups, SMEs approach that as an, you know, an opportunity for innovation. So I see a lot of patterns within the ed tech space, but I also think there's big trends with, you know, remote working and especially healthcare, telehealth, all of these things that I feel like are now on the forefront of this kind of the world we're in. Those would be my trends.
Definitely. And Alex, have you got any different views or anything? Yeah, what have you seen and trends have you like noticed this year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think just one thing I was just going to highlight that Kayla mentioned is, you know, I think the cultural sector often gets kind of forgotten a little bit in, you know, everything that we talk about, because I think corporate training and ed tech, obviously with kind of schools being completely shut down, I think that's a very obvious thing that people, you know, in the general public and within those sectors kind of get. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm based in Bristol. Currently, that's where Verti's sort of tech team is based. You know, the culture and the sort of the arts part of the city has taken a massive hit. And you know, I don't think that certainly people at the government level should be, you know, forgetting that or thinking it's sort of a second tier sector, because it's absolutely not. I mean, I think from my point of view, what we've seen a lot of is one of the big use cases for our platform has been sort of taking existing in-person training events and digitizing those and live streaming. And I think what we certainly have found is that the traditional kind of ways of, I guess, doing live events online, like webinars, just are not good. You know, they're not fun, especially these ones where there's like a million people on and the software kind of sucks. And I think there's been a huge movement to kind of completely upend live events, and certainly, you know, with what we've got with our platform, we've done elements of that. And I think it's actually highlighted to people who put on these big, very expensive conferences, or who might send their employees to conferences, spends a heck of a lot of money on it. If you can get a really good kind of like technology interface where people get the value of networking and they learn from those events, you can save a lot of money, you save a lot of time, and you know, you can really kind of optimize what you're getting out of them. So yeah, I think that's, for us, has been the thing we've seen sort of the most, I guess, disruption in addition to all the points that Caitlin said.
Definitely. I mean, well, a lot of people I've spoken to hadn't heard of Zoom before the pandemic, so obviously that like shot up. But like you say, in our industry, I go to a lot of events online, like webinars, trying to do like big trade shows. And the ones that have this like new software or this new platform that you've never seen before does often work quite well, because they've put thought into it. How is this going to work? And yeah, I agree. And before, I want to ask you more about how tech has played a part this year in the pandemic. But I want to break up the conversation a little bit and ask you more about Christmassy stuff, because it is the Christmas special. So I just want to ask you both if you have any Christmas Eve and Christmas Day traditions. Alex, let's start with you. Anything you've got out the usual, or the traditional traditions?
Yeah, definitely. This is where you don't think anything you do is unusual until you say it out loud, and then you're like, okay, I'm actually really weird. I normally go back to my parents' place for Christmas with sort of our cousins and things like that. So it's quite a big like sort of family event. So I guess Christmas Eve, obviously everyone's sort of, you know, super excited. Often we just kind of like crash out, maybe watch a movie or something, maybe have some like mulled cider or wine. Cider, because I'm down in the West Country at the moment for Bristol, so I got to say that. And then, yeah, I mean, Christmas Day, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I absolutely love Christmas, so I still get very excited in a very immature way on Christmas morning, and sort of, you know, wake up, get down, have a coffee, and then, you know, wait for my folks to come down and open presents and stuff. So yeah, I think hopefully relatively standard.
Yeah, I agree. Sounds like a perfect Christmas to me. Caitlin, any differences for you? Obviously, you're in America, so do you guys do anything differently?
Yeah, I come from a really big, I would say, like, Irish-Italian family. So each of our siblings, we buy a Secret Santa gift, which is obviously something terrible and hilarious. So Christmas Eve is the Secret Santa exchange. Usually a lot of really, really bad sweaters and, you know, all of that. And then Christmas Day, my siblings have kids, which is really exciting. So it's like you get to witness all of the magic. So, you know, it's a lot of building toys, lots of games, lots of enthusiasm. And yeah, usually there's some kind of like sports game on we all watch as a family. And yeah, I would echo, there's always a glass of wine or two.
It's amazing, isn't it, how when you're a child, there's this big magical Christmas, and when you have children, there's a big magical Christmas. And in between, it's still super fun because you just have loads of drunken magical Christmas times.
Oh yeah, like it's way easier to build Lego sets like with a glass of mulled wine in my head.
love it. You've both described great Christmases, so no judgment here. Back to the emerging tech for just a short while. You both kind of touched on this in my previous point, so it's led on nicely. But has technology, you know, specifically some of the areas that you guys have worked in, AR, VR, AI, helped with the COVID crisis at all? Like, have you seen some positive impacts that tech has brought this year to the table?
Yeah, definitely. I think definitely in the, you know, the healthcare sector in particular, things like, you know, I think artificial intelligence in particular, whether it's used for sort of helping to triage patients and therefore reduce their need to necessarily come into like a busy hospital or, you know, put themselves at risk by sitting in a waiting room where there might be people coughing and so forth. I think that's been really interesting. And even like the sort of, you know, the NHS tracking app where sort of, you know, Google and some other big companies kind of offered to help out initially. There was a lot of sort of data management going on behind the scenes there. So I would say, you know, AI has played a huge role. I think for us, augmented reality and VR, absolutely. I mean, we have got a sort of assistant that runs across desktop, mobiles and everything. I think particularly for the healthcare sector, when they were being upskilled in how to use things like ventilators or put on protective equipment, where normally for like an entire hospital, there might be one department that does all that training. So if you've got like, you know, 14 or 40,000 members of staff, actually organising them to come down, practice putting on gowns, practice using ventilators and getting sort of certified and signed off was incredibly, you know, time consuming, a massive operational challenge. So we were able to kind of help with some of that, which was awesome, using a combination of VR, AR and mobile and desktop. So I think certainly in healthcare, which is our sort of initial and primary market, we've seen a huge use case throughout the kind of the pandemic time this year.
Definitely. And like you say, it's been a big one for healthcare and it was needed. So it was a good job it was there. Caitlin, yeah, any comments or any extra from you?
First off, kudos, Alex. Like, that's incredible. I would never think of the whole training for like PPE. That just blew my mind there when you said that. I think on our end, it has really impacted education more at a primary level. You know, I think AR and VR has this kind of ability to hook children in a different way that maybe a traditional learning method. I think everyone's mentioned the Zoom drain. It just doesn't engage in a way. So for us, we've seen that being the spark for a lot of families, a lot of children, to re-explore concepts, histories, and just also just getting their kids more excited. Because I can't imagine being, you know, an eight-year-old kid where one day you don't go to school traditionally. So this was a way to kind of have that exposure, have these different kind of interactions you might have in school in a way at home. And I think for us, getting feedback from parents, you know, that, hey, you know, I'm working full-time as well and my kid's totally engaged, learning about this cultural topic was the best feedback we could have during the pandemic.
Definitely. And I've spoken to parents that have said it's been a nightmare trying to homeschool their children. They've not enjoyed it. You know, they don't know what they're doing. So it's you guys are kind of bringing it a fun element into it, aren't you? So it's really, really helped. I mean, it would help in a pre-COVID world anyways, bringing fun to learning. But like this year, definitely, yeah. You two have like both helped the big sectors with the amazing work that you have been doing. One question I did have, which is, it's an interesting one whenever I ask people, often technology, you know, future tech and emerging tech, and in particular AI is mentioned, can get a bad rep from certain people, arguably small-minded people, but yeah. And, you know, they say that it's bad and it's, you know, ruining the human race in more drastic terms. But I wanted to get your guys' view on it. Obviously, you've worked with, you know, AI, VR, AR. So, like, when it comes to, like, emerging techs and new technologies and the power of technology, what's your opinion of it? I mean, I'm sure it's all positive. And what would you kind of say to these people that have these concerns and views?
I'll jump in first because I feel like Alex has way more in-depth knowledge, especially in the AI side. I think it's two sides of the same coin. I think one issue is education, both on the commercial side as well as the, you know, investor, consumer, really understanding what AI is and what emerging technologies are and the power of what they can do. I think there's an issue with startups saying they're AI and they're not. And I think there's an issue of the perceptions, especially with the AR, VR, XR, and similarly with AI, with just not understanding and also not having the insight of stepping back and seeing the opportunity and affordances from a positive light. I think this happens with every kind of generation of new technology, and we're just in the midst of it. I think COVID has actually shined a spotlight, hopefully for the positive, seeing all the benefits that these platforms and this kind of technology uses. But I think at the heart of it, it really is understanding. And I think when people worry about AI, I think they have complete oversight of all the benefits that they're probably reaping without even realizing that that is going on behind the scenes. But I think Alex definitely will have some insight on that.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, I think whenever you sort of think about like technology as like a, you know, a blanket term, or AI as a blanket term, it's quite risky, because it, like, even AI, so I mean the way that we, for example, use, I mean, we actually call it machine learning internally. So it's the different aspects of how you're basically, you know, training a computer basically to do automated repetitive tasks. So we use it with our system with computer vision, so we can say, you know, feed in video images or get the computer system to kind of highlight areas of interest in a video, or pick out what the user is doing if it's in a sort of virtual environment. And that's super helpful, because you know, if you think of a human doing that, they'd have to look through and watch lots of different people in these videos, potentially hundreds of thousands of hours of like video content or training content, and it's just impossible. And it's not a task that really needs a massive amount of skill, but it is something that needs to be captured and compared to sort of improve people's learning. And then equally on things like, you know, communication or leadership, we use a lot of like what's called natural language processing. That's a bit like Amazon Alexa analyzing both content of speech and tone and stuff like that to make kind of subjective communication skills a bit more objective for the people doing the training. So you can say, okay, maybe my breaking bad news skills are not as good as the sort of, you know, the standard expected across all the learners in my organization, which, you know, again, if you were doing that in person with role play, very difficult to kind of quantify that because of like all the biases and stuff. So I think, you know, we so that's kind of what we use AI for with Inverti. I think that there is probably an element of like looking at what's going on like deeper in the R&D side of it, because if you hear like Elon Musk and people talk about like, you know, him sort of chipping people's brains, and then there's all the sort of, you know, deeper aspects of artificial intelligence where you're again using something like computer vision to replicate someone's face or like steal their personality or all this kind of stuff. I think that's where it gets on the slightly darker side, which we absolutely want to avoid. I hope, and I think for as a whole, technology has certainly helped people during COVID. The only thing I would say it definitely has not helped is social media. So, you know, I don't think it's helped anybody when they've been locked down, seeing lots of either fear mongering or, you know, misinformation spread around. And I think there are elements of social media that are super good, especially for people who are, you know, selling products through it, like on Instagram now. But I think there's definitely some bits that really affect people's mental health and have really negative aspects on us as humans as a whole. So, yeah, I think hopefully overall positive, but I do agree there are some pockets that definitely kind of regulating and watching.
It's quite an interesting one at the moment as well, isn't there? Because with the whole vaccine being rolled out, I've seen the odd conspiracy theory and posts that obviously people are entitled to their opinions that say, you know, Bill Gates is microchipping us through the vaccine, but they're all posting it through Facebook and they're all, you know, checking it through their Amazon Alexa. And it's like, I don't think people have this worry about certain areas like the new vaccine, but they don't understand how much technology they genuinely rely on with their Alexa, with their smart meter, with their, you know, connected car to their connected phone. And it's, yeah, I think it helps people a lot more, but like you said, we do need to keep an eye on certain areas and yeah, methods maybe in the future. But yeah, couldn't agree more, Alex. On to a more lighter Christmassy note. Another Christmassy question for you. Food obviously is a big topic at Christmas time. We've already spoke about breakfast. But what do you guys normally have on your Christmas dinner? And more importantly, like, what is your favourite part of a Christmas dinner? I'm guessing you'll have the same things. So should we go Caitlin first?
Yeah, I feel like there might be some differences because I cooked a Thanksgiving dinner, which is very similar to my Christmas. And my British friends were like, "What? What is that?" So, yeah, we do like the full turkey with stuffing. I think sweet potatoes is a big thing in the States, not as big over there. Mashed potatoes, you know, the green bean casserole, corn casserole. I mean, there's so much food, it probably lasts the week. And pies, I know, like, we have like pecan pie, pumpkin pie. Those aren't very British-y. So yeah, I think in that area, we definitely switch it up. And I think the favorite part for me is I love cooking. So I'm like one of the chefs in the kitchen. So I think it's a lot of fun to actually be the one, you know, kind of spending the 2 hours, you know, making the biscuits and all of that. biscuits as in like rolls, not biscuits as in cookies.
Clarification.
So that's a lot of fun. And I think a lot of memories are made in the process just as much as on the table.
Definitely. Yeah, there is quite a few big differences, isn't there? Alex, tell us what's on yours. I'm sure it'd be similar to mine. And then, yeah, we can compare.
Yeah, definitely. It's really funny, actually, because, I mean, half of our team are based in the US. And as Kate was saying, with Thanksgiving happen, just gone, we've had the same debate. So we almost had like an insurrection in Verti, because half the people were saying, you know, we just have turkey. And then there were some rogue answers like, oh, we have gammon, or we have like some other bird or something at Thanksgiving. So that didn't go down too well internally. But yeah, for me, definitely turkey all the way. And then I think I quite like sort of bread sauce as my like guilty pleasure with turkey. That's pretty awesome. Obviously, your roast potatoes, your cranberries and sprouts, I don't actually mind. Yeah, I quite like, you know, your parsnips, your sprouts, sausages, yeah. Pigs in blankets, as we call them in the UK.
Do you have pigs in blankets, Caitlin?
What is your interpretation of pigs in blankets?
So it's normally a small sausage wrapped in bacon.
Okay, yes. Okay, we do have this.
Cool. What do you call them?
So that is, we call that, but certain areas, pigs in blankets are like meat wrapped in cabbage. So there's like two takes on it, depending where you are regionally.
Okay. And quickly, Alex, it's been a debate in our office. Do you have, I know you mentioned roast, but do you have mash? And if so, do you have both?
Oh, good question. No, I would always, I think, I'm not sure I've ever had mash. Maybe I've had like, I don't know, yeah, like maybe like sweet potato mash. But always roast potatoes, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And one final one. I mean, I don't know if you have these, Caitlin, but do you have Yorkshire puddings on a Christmas dinner?
No, that's like not a thing. But they're so good.
They are so good. And Alex, do you have Yorkshires?
I was just thinking then, you said it, I don't think we do. I think I'd normally have that with like a Sunday roast, but I don't think I've ever had that with Christmas dinner.
Again, that was a big debate here because everyone's like, they're so good, you have them on a Sunday roast. Why wouldn't you have them on Christmas dinner? But people did say, there's so much on a Christmas dinner, you don't need Yorkshire pudding. I think you always need Yorkshire pudding, personally. But hey-ho. No, definitely. And one rogue comment from me is, I don't like gravy. So I don't have gravy on my roast or Christmas dinner, which is, people then don't trust me. But yeah, I'm all for the cranberry sauce.
Have you guys checked out the Daily Success Strategies podcast? Jeff is a success coach working with entrepreneurs and other high achievers, and provides quick 3 to 10 minute daily podcasts focusing on creating a powerful mindset and business strategies. He shares the knowledge and strategies that he uses in his courses with his clients. So go and check out the Daily Success Strategies podcast.
Amazing. Well, back to the tech talk for now. Don't worry, there's a few more Christmas before we leave. Finally, the section I want to talk about is, you know, we've spoken about what tech's done this year, tech in general. So without asking you to kind of predict the future, what may we see in 2021 and beyond in terms of emerging tech? And do you think kind of COVID and lockdown has had any effects on the direction that the tech trends were going moving forward?
Yeah, sure. So I think probably, more of the same, to be honest. I think it's going to take a little while for people to sort of get completely back to normal. And, you know, I would imagine through most of 2021, people will be a little bit hesitant still to do a lot of sort of in-person stuff. So I think we'll see a continuation of what we've seen this year, which is a lot of remote solutions, a lot of live streaming solutions, a lot of use cases for the technology we spoke about, like AI, VR and AR, definitely. I mean, I think there's a couple of really interesting companies I've seen recently in the kind of startup space who are doing more and more around kind of artificial intelligence applied to sort of, you know, human factor skills or communication skills that we ourselves do. So I think there's going to be a real uptick in again, like the AI startups in 2021.
Definitely. And Caitlin, what about you? What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I second what Alex said. I think in our sector, the XR space has kind of been like 2 steps forward, 1 step back. I think pre-COVID, you know, you had immersive experiences, VR experiences in the museum, which because of health and safety, cleaning, in person, just in general, probably won't be a thing. I don't think, you know, definitely not early next year. And that was a shame because I think that was a movement, especially in the art sector, having immersive at the forefront in their museums, really showcasing that to their entire audience. But like Alex said, I think from a entrepreneurial side, there have been amazing progress with business creation within the ed tech space, AI, XR. I think there's a lot of opportunity and potential, and people now are kind of stepping back and maybe pursuing a venture for the first time or utilizing their skills in new ways. So I think the whole environment, especially in the UK, is going to be really exciting in 2021.
So do you think it's fair to say that there may be kind of like a surge in new businesses and people kind of like going for it and starting up? You might think from a more like assuming point of view that it would put people off, like, you know, the COVID and the pandemic. So do you both think that we'll see more businesses going for it, especially in the tech sector and like wanting to kind of help and, you know, push tech along more?
I think so. I think just speaking amongst, you know, my own circles, I think people being on furlough, I think people having more time, stepping back and also taking the plunge. I mean, I think COVID made everyone stop and pause and reflect. And I think more people are using this as an opportunity. And if we look back at other kind of historical events, we've never had anything like COVID, but some of the most thriving businesses were formed in economic downturns. And I think that could be another interesting pattern we might see within the next, you know, 2 years.
Definitely. And Alex, kind of about the same to you and ask a bit more. Do you think that tech, obviously we've seen, you know, you guys have helped the health sector so much, Caitlin with edtech sector. We've talked about the sectors that tech has really helped and thrived. Do you think there's opportunity for tech to help save other sectors? I know we spoke about the arts a little bit as well, but, you know, like hospitality, is there room for us to, you know, work on different solutions and things to kind of help other different areas in the future?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think, again, I'd to second what Caitlin just touched on there, which is, you know, I think any time of like change is always going to favour like the entrepreneur and the most kind of innovative businesses. And again, I think, you know, in 2021, we'll probably see a lot of businesses that have been started by people during 2020 really, you know, come to the forefront, because there's often, you know, a good kind of 6 month period where people are just sort of, you know, getting their product right or building stuff. And I think, you know, reflecting back certainly on our year, I remember back in sort of, you know, January, February time when things were just sort of first being talked about and lockdowns were just first being initiated, there was a lot of uncertainty. And I think, you know, certainly we were probably overly cautious at that stage, which, you know, in retrospect was still the correct thing to do. But, you know, we could have been much more aggressive and pushed on in that sort of time of sort of change. I think, yeah, I mean, people are always going to sort of rise to the challenge regardless of how crazy things are getting. And my personal feelings on this are that if you identify a problem at a time of change and you can kind of quickly scale up, you're going to get a really early share of the market and an early attention and kind of first mover advantage to a degree, and really have, you know, the spotlight shone on your solution. So yeah, I think other sectors outside of those that we've mentioned, I think, you know, insurance weirdly is seeing like a huge amount of kind of disruption at the moment. I think, again, that's another kind of really slow moving sector where a lot of processes were done kind of manually and now they've, you know, had to adopt new bits of technology. So that's, you know, moving as fast probably as kind of ed tech at the moment. Healthcare, I think has obviously been kind of bolstered. But I think as well, actually, you know, if we move kind of outside of technology, I think just like the high street and like how shops have had to adapt. So lots of solutions that kind of help small, you know, high street businesses either collect cash or do kind of like online sort of trading or anything like that. And actually just the people who run like coffee shops where they've had to adapt, they've had to do on the street takeout, they've had to move everything, how their business works is really, really interesting, really exciting. And I think hopefully like a ton of those businesses, although it's been super tough, have probably learned like an insane amount from the whole kind of pandemic period.
Definitely. And Caitlin, I'll kind of bat the same on over to you. You know, what trends do you think we may see going forward that's not necessarily, doesn't have to be related to tech or specifically tech focused? Do you think there's anything to watch out for?
Yeah, I think what's interesting is Alex kind of, I think some of the unglamorous, I think that's the thing, is sometimes it's we get so caught up in like the tech glamour side of things. And what's interesting as well is I've seen some changes in generally the arts, so like how musicians, like you mentioned with hospitality, like how that is going to change, you know, kind of their market share and how they're going to, you know, enter venues virtually or not. And I think I have hope, you know, as well with the high street and changing retail. I think retail tech is also going to change. And I think remote working, like I think that's going to become basically its own sector, like especially in the age of Slack and everything else, that could be its own subsector, and HR as well.
I hope so. I mean, it's really sad, isn't it, seeing the high street kind of, you know, how it's been affected, and it was dying a little bit beforehand, so this has made it a lot worse. So yeah, hopefully.
It's so weird to go Christmas shopping not on a high street. I'm like, oh, I don't know what to get people. Usually, you know, you walk around and get inspired. It's weird.
Definitely.
That's a really cool use case actually for augmented reality, where there's some really good data behind it. So like, you know, Shopify and Amazon have now all integrated like AR product demonstrations. So instead of, if you think about making a big purchase, like buying a television or something like that, that's one of the things people normally always go into a store to like look at it and look at the sound and look at like the size of it mainly to get a perspective of what will fit. And so, you know, using sort of augmented reality through your phone or through your computer or whatever, you can position it, you know, and Shopify did quite a lot of data collection on after they implemented that. And I think there was about kind of like a 100% increase in, need to purchase after using the sort of AR modules, which is really, really interesting.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that's really cool when you can see things in your room. And it's like with the fashion side things as well. I was speaking to a startup the other day who's like uses AI to measure women's breasts for proper bra measuring, like all, you know, digitally. So yeah, it's really exciting to see what's happening in this space, definitely. I have one final Christmas question for you, but I also want to ask you in a more, normally I ask people, what can we expect to see from Museumio or Verti in the future? And I like that. If you want to add that in, feel free. But I want to ask you what you're most looking forward to about 2021 and saying goodbye to 2020. It can be business related, it can be personal related, it can be whatever you want. But yeah, what are you most looking forward to in this new year and new start?
Yeah, sure. So I'm super simple. So, I mean, I'm normally kind of like flying around the US, or at least I was in kind of 2019. So although it's nice been having a break and being grounded to some degree, I think it's going to be great to get back to sort of, you know, seeing people, particularly our team in the US and getting back on a plane. I think from a personal point of view, that's going to be super fun. For us as a company, I guess it's going to be exciting because we're sort of in scale-up mode. We're hiring lots and lots of people at the moment. So, you know, I'm getting to meet some really talented, cool individuals that we're potentially going to bring onto our company, which is always exciting because obviously the people are kind of at the heart of anything you're building. So, yeah, I think it's going to be fun. From both a travel perspective and a kind of growth perspective, hopefully.
Definitely. Watch this space and watch Verti, because we will be. And Caitlin, yeah, what are you excited for in 2021 and beyond?
Yeah, so from a business side, we have a lot of really exciting partnerships, you know, launching in around Q2. So I'm really looking forward to those at the moment. And I think personally, it's about, I think, getting people together. Like, I really miss, you know, events. You know, it's kind of weird to do like virtual weddings and just seeing your family through a screen and friends as well. So I'm really looking forward to, you know, hopefully, fingers crossed, live events, get together with more than, you know, my very, very small household in London. And I think it really allowed us to stop and really take value in relationships, and I hope people take that message into 2021 as well.
Definitely. Yeah, hope, like you say, hopefully when we can get back to like networking, I'll never moan about going to an event or...
Oh, exactly. I would love to get a little conference tote bag right now.
Exactly. Honestly, like, I'm gonna be excited. Like, it's gonna be Christmas Eve every time there's a conference or a work event the day after. Great answers from both of you. And so finally, to finish the Christmas special off, what have you both asked for Santa? And don't be modest. Don't, you know, if you wanted a widescreen telly, tell me that you wanted that widescreen TV. What is Santa hopefully bringing you?
I haven't even considered it from my side. I'm gonna just completely sell out and say, just because they're out of stock, a PlayStation 5. I think that's gonna be very unlikely, based on the fact that I don't actually need one and they're also completely sold out. But to be perfectly honest, I don't really know. I mean, I'm much more of like a kind of buy gifts for other people type of person than getting too excited about receiving them. I've got a couple of books, I think, on my wish list, like business type books, quite sadly, that I've asked for. But other than that, I think it's just going to be nice to sort of chill out and have a kind of a week off for Christmas and New Year.
As a little side question, do you want a PS5 because they're new, or are you more of a PlayStation than an Xbox sort of guy anyway?
Yeah, so great. So all our team are like games developers. So, I mean, we normally do quite a lot of like gaming and stuff internally, but there was so, I mean, we were joking about this the other day. There's so many good games still on the PlayStation 4, and we're all the kind of Nintendo people as well. And there's so many good games out that there's not really a massive need for the PlayStation 5. The problem is that as soon as anything is made difficult to get, everyone immediately wants it. So I've also fallen into that category where I'm just like, oh, I just got to have one because they're completely sold out.
Everyone else has. And from a girlfriend's point of view, my boyfriend has a PS4, maybe even 3, and they're so ugly. And I was like, you know what, if you want the PS5, you can have it, because it actually looks aesthetically pleasing. I think Sony has actually started thinking about the girls when they've been designing these PlayStations. But yeah, Caitlin, what is Santa hopefully bringing for you? I assume you're more of a gifter than a receiver, but yeah, what would you like?
Yeah, my lockdown holiday task was to make gifts this year. I was like, okay, lockdown 2, I need to do something. So hopefully none of my family's listening, but yeah, everyone has a homemade gift this year. But I am definitely asking Santa for like meal kits. Like I found one that, you know, it teaches you how to make like Asian meals, Thai meals, Jamaican meals, because I really miss going to restaurants, because that's the thing, is like, I don't know how to make this food. As well as I will take flight to any beach. It could be, you know, I don't care. It could be a beach in Wales. It could be a beach anywhere. Just somewhere with sun and sand that's not my 500 square foot apartment will be greatly appreciated.
Well, Santa, you've got some big orders to fulfill here, please. I hope you both get what you want eventually, maybe. But it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you both today. Thank you for being on, and thank you for all your hard work that you've been doing this year. You know, from everyone, it's great to see the amazing things that you guys are able to do with tech and the sectors that you're helping. So yeah, here's to 2020 and 2021. Merry Christmas, and thank you all for being a part today.
Yeah, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you for all the pivoting you've done as well. I mean, we're all in it together.
Serial Entrepreneur.